Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right. So we had the following assignments over the weekend. On Friday, we had a set of questions on a page, which we were encouraged to do without thinking. I'm not going to read them again. On Saturday, we switched to what makes you saddest? And then on Sunday, a little different from the workbook, do the two-handed recording exercise to embrace this aspect of you that feels sad. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Am I on?
You are.
Am I on? How fantastic. Wow. I'm thrilled. This is Carol in Philadelphia.
Hello, Carol.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I wonder if I can hear you. I hear you through my hearing aids, through the phone. I'm very, very grateful to have this opportunity. I have been eager to speak since you were in North Carolina, where at Nantahala Village, I had one of my most eye-opening, heart-opening awarenesses. And I've been thoroughly grateful for everything I've been able to hear since. If we were to go to, I must say that I'm speaking to you from the car parked in front of Trader Joe's at Philadelphia. My morning has been so packed that I said, you can't go home because you have to shop. I had just been at the audiologist. So just go there and sit. So here I am. And
Parking lots are good places for calls.
They surely are. And I just learned a fantastic lesson. There's a gentleman here who works for a program called One Step Away. He takes contributions which allow him to buy a newspaper that costs him 25 cents. So if you give him a dollar, he has made 75 cents. This is a program for the homeless. And when I first drove up here, I could see how it must be from his point of view. And he and I have become friends over the years. And I said, Jerry, I see it from your point of view. And he said, it's all good. He said, sometimes someone will go away, having not spoken to me, and come back two or three days later and apologize for having walked away and say something like, what did you say to me? And this is incredible because he lost 30 papers in the rain last night, and he has to make that up. And the fact that he said, it's all good, Carol, was so wonderful. But anyway, my life is immensely challenged. I live with my daughter and son-in-law, and I have the thrill of still sharing the life of my grandchildren who I've watched grow since birth. And they are now 11 and 13. So this morning I drove them to school, as is my custom, got back home, made the smoothie, which has been my practice since I was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago. And I think of Jane in Colorado when I have that smoothie, because it had a great deal to do with my having gone through chemo and radiation and come out the other side, even though I had or may still have a life-threatening, but it's not visible currently, and I mm-hmm. continue to put one foot in front of the other.
And you know, in Carol, that's a place where we can, right? We all have a life-threatening condition, and currently we're fine, which is how your pal gets to, it's all good, huh?
That's right. That's exactly how he gets to it's all good. It's just remarkable. So in answer to Friday's questions, this kind of gives you a clue as to how I am. I'm happiest when I'm doing what I enjoy, although I still am happy when I'm not doing what I enjoy. Someday I'm going to be happy all the time. When I'm really down, what I want to do is do what needs to be done. Now, that's my way of dealing with difficulty. I do what needs to be done. I feel anxious when I'm concerned. Yes, go.
And that's it, isn't it? It's our joy. We find our joy in participating, the way life calls us to participate. Right? That's where the joy is. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so, and later on, when the question was what makes you saddest, I did say that's a place I don't give in to often, because mm-hmm. you just have to climb back out. And mm-hmm. so that is when I try to find what needs to be done and do it. And mm-hmm. then...
hearing. You know, it's such an interesting place, this emotional stuff for us conditioned human beings, because when Jerry, is Jerry your friend?
That's my friend, yes.
Yeah, okay. So yes. He lost 30 newspapers in the rain.
Right.
And
right.
And that... I went to a place of being sad about that. Not because I think he's inadequate, not because I think it's a mistake, not that there's anything wrong with it, but just because that's a hard place for somebody, and we're rooting for one another to be in a place of well-being, of seeing the opportunity in it, and being grateful for another day to participate. So all of that can be in there at the same time, right?
Yes, it can.
Yeah, that to be sad doesn't need to be turned over to ego poor me, this is terrible, this is wrong, this shouldn't be happening. But just as a kind of a solidarity or an empathy, a sympathy, whatever that is that we feel that for one another, that contains admiration and respect and a sense of strength from shared strength.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm going to do? Rather than shop when the program is over, I'm going to take Jerry where he has to go to get those papers, because he'll lose time walking and taking public transit and coming back. And
uh-huh.
then I'll shop.
And then you'll shop. Oh, I love it. All right. Well, thank you. That's a beautiful picture for us to hold.
And I'm going to roll down. I rolled up the window so I wouldn't be having this conversation in the parking lot. But I'll roll it down so I can continue to hear you through my hearing aids. And I'll let him
All
know
right.
when I'm done. I'll drive
All right.
to where he needs
Thank
to go.
Thank you, Carol.
Take good care.
Drive
and
safely.
Be well.
Okay,
thank you.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye, Carol. Thank you.
There they go.
mm-hmm. Well, I so appreciated that perspective, that what breaks our heart can really, you know, shut us down rather than keep us open. And that openness is maintained by the participation, right? If there's anything I can do to assist, which is to drive you so that you can save time, let me do mm-hmm. that. In other words, the openness, there's a way in which we can stay in the compassion and act from the compassion rather than in some ways making it about me.
Yes, so we don't say, well, you know, Jerry's fine. He knows it's all good. He's a strong, grateful guy. And so he's fine. I'll just go shop. Instead, what Carol gets to is, he's all of those things. And I have time to drive him to get those papers. And that'll save him some time. And I can support and assist a friend. And I feel loving. And I think he feels loved. And, wow, it really is all good.
Yes, it's what bridges the flame of separateness, right, Sherry, that mm-hmm. you know, you get sad, and that's fine because it breaks your heart open to move beyond what separates to how we're all participating in this. I can be in that state of anguish, but I can also be in love at the same time.
Yes.
And that seems
yes.
to be what ego prevents us from getting to, that those sensations don't require you to isolate. Those sensations, if you will let them, are what assists you to recognize the interconnectedness of things through participation.
Mm-hmm.
So that question of what makes you saddest and getting to what Carol said, that makes me focused on what needs to get done. That's acceptance of how it is, and therefore mm-hmm. there's a way in which we move with life.
Mm-hmm. We roll up our sleeves.
Yep. Exactly.
Hey, now I don't know that this is true, but I'm gonna say it. You'll tell me whether you know anything about this or not. But I have heard that a broken bone, when it's properly cared for, heals stronger than the break becomes stronger than the original bone. Is that true, or did I make that up?
I have no idea.
I don't either. But maybe.
But I bet someone
will.
Yes,
but I was thinking about that when you said a broken heart. That if there's validity to that, then every time we let our hearts be broken, and we stay in a place of unconditional for it to heal, then I suspect our hearts just get stronger and stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And more willing to break.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did
something to consider.
Something to consider, exactly. Yeah, there's a way in which I think the strength comes from the fact that we build faith that the process is not the end of the word.
Yeah,
that's the strength,
yes.
Right? That once
mm-hmm.
I've gone through an experience that is devastating, then I know I have faith in my adequacy to be strong.
Mm-hmm. And that we do come through stronger than ever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Okay. Well, let me try another caller. Here you go. Next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. It's Ramita.
Hey, Ramita.
Ramita.
And I do have knowledge of that bone breaking.
As soon as I heard your name, I said, I know somebody who has knowledge about that. Okay, what's the answer?
It's true. Ah. It's like scar tissue builds around the bone, and that point is stronger than the rest of the bone.
Uh-huh.
And I use that analogy all the time when I'm talking with people who've been through trauma, you know, as a way of saying, you know, talk about it. Let's explore some of those feelings. And, you know, with the analogy goes, you know, if you let the doctors set the bone, it's going to grow stronger. If you don't let the bone get set professionally, if it heals crooked, it's always going to be a weak point.
Uh-huh. Which is why we want to take care of ourselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
When I think of, you know, the sadness and the heart breaking open, The way I've been experiencing that in my practice and in my life and everywhere it seems to be popping up lately, that, you know, I'm not so afraid to go into those dark places, partly because I know that I will survive it. But the image that's been coming up a lot ever since we looked at the how of emotion is opening Pandora's box. And the fear is what keeps the box closed and the lid on all those feelings. But when it gets opened up, when I can step past that dragon of fear and doubt and recognize the illusion for what it is, all of those emotions are available. Life gets colorful, rich, and everything is better. That pain and tightness in the center of the chest that sounds like heartbreaking actually is a wealth of human experience that I haven't allowed myself.
I had this image as you were talking of all of those things locked in that box with the lid on, and out they come. And it's like now we have every resource that's possible available to us. And then what dropped in was the superheroes. You know, this crazy array of improbable creatures who are who each have a special gift to bring to saving us. And
I like
so
that.
even the emotions that we are taught to be so afraid of truly do have a gift for us if we let them out of that box and let them be here and let them be what they are instead of resisting and fighting them.
The content that's been going on, my mom has moved from her own place into a independent living, and now we're moving her actually into assisted living. And you know, yesterday was a really hard day, a really hard day. Why do I have to move? She's got early stages of dementia. You know, why do I have to move this and that and explaining things and being patient, but really feeling the sadness of what she's going through and how much resistance there is, and practicing letting myself feel it and let it wash through me and staying connected with her. And it's making the most amazing changes in my relationship with my mother. She called back today to apologize because I'm sorry I was so difficult yesterday, which breaks my heart open on another whole level.
Yeah. And, because you can just see the innocence, can't you?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no...
I don't want to do it.
Right. We're just so conditioned to go into a... She's just being difficult. Why can't she see? This is hard for me too. And in the, especially in that apology, just see the innocence of a person who's, just taken over by forces that she doesn't have any control over.
Right. It's been a huge
Which is also
workshop.
True for you, right?
Which is oh also, yeah.
Yeah, so we each get to have our side of the experience.
Yeah, and I get to practice, you know, acknowledging the feelings in me, voicing them to my recorder, voicing them occasionally to my significant others, and then receiving the support and the understanding instead of my lifelong pattern of, you know, I'm the strong one. I can handle this. I can handle this better than everyone else and end up being isolated in that Pandora's box with all of those feelings.
Yes. With the lid clamped down.
Yeah. Can't breathe.
Gosh. Big time.
It is. So thank you so much for being here and... You know, this opening that Pandora's box has been life-changing for me. And I'm seeing so much about how this is how I do everything, and how much fear has controlled my life experience. And, you know, getting that courage together to face down the illusion and just step past it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ramita, you know, the other thing that occurs to me in this conversation, we had a little bit of this conversation at center yesterday morning, is that there's your mother. She's walking along the path, and you're coming behind, but headed to the same place. We're all headed to that same place. And for us to live our lives now because we're not there, and not take advantage of seeing those who are going before us, showing us what's possible for us, the stumbling blocks, the potential suffering that's there that we can face now, and perhaps not need to wait until we are less, we have fewer resources. What a gift.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've over and over said, thank goodness to be able to do this with my mother while she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than try to walk this path in grief after she dies.
Yes.
And the missed opportunities for the healing that's coming with the apologies and the deepening of love, and you know what's real and true beneath all of the fear and the anger. And
Oh gosh, yeah, it's wonderful. Thank you, Ramita.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks, Ramita. It was just such a profound conversation, Jerry. And the thing that, you know, really it makes the difference, I project, is the ability to be with those emotions. And that two-handed recording exercise, which is the total process of letting them out of the Pandora's box, being with them, being given the tools to, or the insights, so the clarity in how to be with that. And to know that place you were pointing out at the end of that conversation is that when we're walking the path, there's always someone walking with us.
Mm-hmm.
The presence that's the left hand is always there. And that when we turn to it, we can reassure ourselves that we're not doing this alone, even if we cannot see it. I mean, that's sort of the beauty of it, right? That there's love being offered in this exchange between a mother and the daughter. There's resistance, but the love never goes away in both directions.
Yeah. And I saw in that, what you just said, that Ramita's mother, I would guess, we've never had this conversation, but doesn't have the benefit of the two-handed recording, doesn't have that access to wisdom and comfort and that sort of thing. And that's the role Ramita is having a chance to play with her mother. She can be the unconditional love and acceptance, the kindness and compassion. My gosh, what a gift that is.
Yes, that when we can do it for ourselves, we can truly be in service.
Yes. Yeah.
That comment you just made just gave me chills, because we're always the left hand for someone.
Yes. Yeah. That we can be.
Yeah.
That's what we're training for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we have time for one more caller. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Steve from Long Island.
Hey, Steve.
Hello. When I heard about sadness, I thought, this is it. I can't take this. But as you mentioned earlier, having actually gone through it, which I guess I forget that I have, it turns out that it actually led to really full appreciation of some of the most important things in my life, you know, people, mostly. You know, having been sad about their parent disappearance, but then getting through that and discovering all the things that I loved about them, then I can bring that back to now, and which is where it all is happening anyway.
And you're just more open to love and appreciation, I project.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and and definitely the well, I could say urgency, you know, about in each moment that this is a really good time for love and appreciation.
Yeah, and what you said is so big that conditioned mind wants us to forget that we have been through many, many painful, difficult, traumatic, frightening, upsetting, depressing, the whole range. We've been through those life experiences. And here we are.
Yeah, and still breathing in the best possible way.
Yeah, fine, in fact. Better.
Better.
I mean, I've had some extraordinary times in my life, and none of them better than right now. And because right now is the culmination of all of that. If I were to go back to any time, I would be missing great huge chunk of insight and clarity and all of those life experiences that open our hearts, that make us more eager to be here, eager to participate, to make our contribution. So all of that, all of the sadness, the pain, all of those difficulties have brought us to this place of greater ability to appreciate.
Yeah, I'm not eager for sadness, but I'm certainly eager to learn more about appreciating.
Yes. And, you know, if sadness becomes something that's interesting to us rather than something that's frightening, I mean, again, what you indicated is you know how to go through it. You know how to be present for sadness and to get to the other side of it. You know how to do that. And so if it's just interesting to see how this very fundamental human experience gets turned into something we dread, how does that happen to us? And what is the price we pay for that? You know, how willing are we then to avoid throwing ourselves into life wholeheartedly? You know, loving with wild abandon, just risking everything for presence. You know, it makes us cautious and nervous and hesitant, and because I don't want to be sad. Well, maybe the price I'm paying is bigger than the risk I'm avoiding.
It is true that when I be with the sadness, that it turns out very interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go, huh?
Here we go.
Steve.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Steve. That conversation so reminded me of, you know, that life is both, you know, the sine curves, right? It's the crest and the trough. And that conditioning mm-hmm. always wants to go for shaving, you know, the flat line. And it's such
yes.
an impossible thing. And that when you cut off the trough, then you miss out on the crest, and it's just a half-life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it's much more, it's easier to go into the trough because conditioning is a negative force, and therefore it takes us a lot more overcoming that conditioning to go with the crest.
Yeah.
That's the life force. It's natural,
yeah.
but it just feels that it takes a lot more effort when we're in
mm-hmm.
that sadness. But not to mm-hmm. lose sight of it. That's what conditioning does. It causes us to lose sight of the fact that the crests exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Okay. Mm. Here's our assignment for today. When do you get punished? How do you get punished? Record and listen.
Mm. When do you get punished and how do you get punished? Yikes.
Mm. All right.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and we'll
talk
to everybody
tomorrow. Yeah. Go happy.
Go happy.